The Old Testament reading for Palm Sunday is from Deuteronomy chapter 32. The Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants when he sees that their power is gone and there is none remaining, bond or free. Then he will say, "Where are their gods, the rock in which they took refuge, who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offering? Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your protection. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. There is none that can deliver out of my hand." This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from Philippians chapter 2. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, so they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 500 years before Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the prophet Zechariah wrote in chapter 9, verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And now this morning, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Finally, the long-awaited Messiah, the long-awaited King comes. Yet this glorious celebration, the waving of palm branches, the triumphal entry, the shouts of Hosanna, all of this must always be viewed in the shadow of the cross. As we celebrate, we keep in mind that when Jesus turned his face toward Jerusalem, rides into Jerusalem, he turned his face toward the city that kills the prophets, stones the truth tellers, and executes troublemakers. And Jesus knew that. He knew it full well. He knew that the waving of palm branches would soon turn into angry shouts of "Crucify him, crucify him." He knew that the cloaks that were strewn around the road as he made his way into Jerusalem, those soon would turn to a mocking robe that covers him and a crown of thorns atop his head. He knew that the excitement would turn to rage, that the beast of burden that he rides into Jerusalem would soon turn into the wooden beams of the cross as he makes his way through the streets once again of Jerusalem. Yet, our Lord rides on in majesty. With no army behind him, in front of him, or beside him, no military might, no sword, no shield in his hands. Behold, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble. Humble and mounted on a donkey. Jesus Christ, true God, true man, humbled himself for you. And we cannot ponder this fact enough. The Son of God humbled himself, became the servant of all, the sin bearer, the substitute, the Lamb of God, the punishment and chastisement of us all. He became the sacrifice for you. God becomes the sacrifice to save you. And the Holy Spirit, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, beautifully says it in our epistle reading from Philippians 2 this morning. And I'm going to look at, start at verse 6. Though Jesus was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, there's that word again, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, in heaven, earth, under the earth, every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Thanks be to God, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, true man, humbled himself for you. But I left something out of that reading. Of our epistle reading, didn't I? The first verse of our epistle reading, Philippians 2, verse 5, it says this, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. You and I are to have this humble, Christ-like mind. A humble mind, a mind that is prepared to sacrifice our own desires and wants and needs for the sake of the other. A mind that is willing to suffer and to serve for the sake of the other. Scripture repeatedly describes the Christian life as a life lived in humility. Humility before God Almighty, as we kneel before him. He is God, we are not. But also humility with one another. Amongst ourselves. A few examples of Scripture saying this. Matthew 18:4. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Luke 14:11. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. James 4:6. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. James 4:10, humble yourselves, therefore, before the Lord, and he will exalt you. 1 Peter 3, verse 8, finally, all of you have unity of mind. Be of the same mind. Have sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, he may exalt you, casting all of your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. Humility. Having the mind of Christ. As beautiful as that sounds, that ought to sting a little bit. Because our sinful flesh doesn't particularly like having to sit down, be humble. Our flesh likes to try to convince us that we are so special. We are all unique. Snowflakes, every one of you. That our way is the best way. Our kids, I mean, we got some good ones. Our kids are cuter and just better and just smarter than everyone else. Our stories are funnier. Our opinions matter more, and people need to listen. Our flesh fills us with delusions of grandeur. If Coach would have put me in the fourth quarter, we would have won state. No doubt in my mind. It's called pride. Selfish, arrogant, sinful pride. It is the opposite. It is the enemy of humility that we are called to. Pride says that we shouldn't have to go through hardship and pain and suffering. And oh boy, if those things should come up, if hardship and pain and suffering do come our way, we demand that they be removed immediately. Give me a pill, whatever it takes, to remove this suffering from my life. And our pride is so cunning that it even convinces us that we can pat ourselves on the back. Because after all, here in this place, we're the ones obeying God's commands, right? And isn't it great that it just so happens that what we want also happens to be what God wants? So it's good for the sake of God's kingdom if things are done my way. Interesting. Convenient for the old sinful flesh. We are still in the season of Lent. Therefore, I want you to hear once again the Lenten refrain. Repent. Repent. Pride, your pride, is nauseating in the nostrils of God. This is why Christ came. This is why the Son of God humbled himself and rode into Jerusalem. By daily contrition and repentance, our pride needs to be drowned and die. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Anyone who thinks that he stands should take heed lest he fall. Proverbs 16, 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride and haughtiness are the fruits of the old Adam. The old sinful flesh that, yes, still clings to each one of us in this life until the day we die. But our sinful pride and our haughtiness belong nowhere near Christ's church. And each one of us must fight against the old Adam and put it down. But there's something else that I haven't covered yet in that epistle reading. Back to Philippians 2, verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves. Of course, this is the humble mind of Christ, which is on full display here this morning as he humbly rides into Jerusalem, humble mounted on a donkey, the colt, the foal of a donkey. Having this mind among yourselves, it says, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Did you catch that? This mind of Christ, is yours. Right now, it is yours in Christ Jesus. Interesting. Are you in Christ Jesus? Are you baptized into Christ? Well, then you are a new creation. You are a new man. You are a believer in Christ, crucified for us sinners, one who now delights in the law of God, and even at the expense of worldly comforts, one who is strengthened by God's word and sacrament regularly, and willing to endure pain and suffering if God so chooses us to endure it. We are a new creation, a new man who graciously receives God's undeserved love and favor and grace through Jesus Christ. One who doesn't think of himself higher or more haughty than he ought to think of himself, but humbly recognizes sin for what it is, gladly repents of that sin, repents without excuses, without strings attached, and joyfully receives the forgiveness that Christ humbly won for us on the cross, and then desires not to fall into that sin again. You are a child of God who humbly bows their knees before Christ Almighty and humbly confesses with their tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. You are a forgiven saint, one who boasts not in yourself, but in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. So as we struggle in this life, till the day we die, as we struggle somewhere in between pride and humility, the old Adam, the new creation, we take heart. Where you and I have succumbed to our pride, Christ humbled Himself in our stead. Where you and I have disobeyed and indulged the sinful flesh, Christ remained obedient all the way to the cross, to death on a cross. So as we march into Holy Week, we are keenly reminded of how the Son of God humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, death on the cross, to save us prideful sinners. We are reminded that His victory over our sinful pride is our victory, that His death and His resurrection have freed us and forgiven us of all of our sin, including our pride. And He has given us a new life now in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have this mind, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes humbly to save us from our sins. Rejoice. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.